If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Pucati, Jay Gutierrez. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Today on the show, we'll talk to Todd Lebo. We'll talk to college basketball writer C.J. Moore from The Athletic. And also our college basketball insider who goes to, who's basically seen every, damn near every top 25 team in person as he travels around the country for his job as a scout for the New Orleans Pelicans. Jarrett Sutton will be on the show with us at 9:05. To talk about the NCAA tournament. The bracket is out. Selection Sunday is in the books. And I know it's a very exciting time for sports fans. Very exciting time for bettors. Let me think here. This is probably the least excited I've been for an NCAA tournament maybe in my life. Perhaps. I debated that yesterday. Many of the teams on the bubble that I wanted in didn't get in. I wanted Providence in for obvious reasons because of our friend Kim English. Well, my friend Kim English. Just being honest here. You guys are acquaintances. You don't really like him, you know? I hear the things you say under your breath, but that's fine. I don't know. I don't want to.
I kind of like him.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, I think I got over him ripping our heart out in the Big 12 tournament.
You like him?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, our friend Kim English.
Yeah, there you go. The Border Patrol friend. We can look past our past.
You know.
I hope.
They didn't get in. I was disappointed that Indiana State didn't get in. I was disappointed St. John's didn't get in. You know, that was a show I wanted to see. I wanted to see, you know, Patino on the bench. And I feel like there's so many things that the committee got wrong. And had an opportunity to put together just a better bracket and a better tournament. I was underwhelmed. And look, you could say part of it, well, you're not excited because Missouri sucks. I mean, over the past 15 years, how many times has Missouri sucked? A lot in basketball. And so, you know, like whenever Nate would say, high school football recruiting. I don't get into that. I don't like bowl games. I'm kind of down on college football. A lot of it was because Kansas was god awful.
Yeah.
All right. Then all of a sudden, when Kansas is good, it's like, oh, this isn't bad. I kind of like college football, you know. But I mean, I'm just telling you, this is not my first rodeo with Missouri being a non-factor in college basketball. All right. The Kim Anderson era, the end of the Konzo Martin era, so I've been there, done that, and I was plenty excited about the NCAA tournament during those seasons. But, I don't know what it is. I really don't, you know. Mizzou obviously didn't make it. K-State didn't make it. Kansas is a 4 seed, so they're good to go. I don't know. Maybe it's because I wasn't as engaged in this college basketball season because of Missouri, and because honestly, like the NFL's been more compelling throughout this whole. Even over this weekend, I've been more locked in on. Are they going to trade Legarius Sneed or not? Are they going to poop or get off the pot? Are these reports coming out of Indianapolis true or not? You have Indianapolis Colts beat writers, basically with. Polar opposite reports battling over who's right about whether or not Sneed is headed to the Colts. I've been more focused on that. I was more excited about the Chiefs signing Hollywood Brown than anything that happened over the weekend as far as basketball. that's just the truth. And I feel like there's some people with me, but that's taken away a lot from it. And I think this is a true statement, and I'm going to get dragged for this one. I'm more excited to watch the women's tournament, I think, than I am the men's tournament. I'm more excited about some of the matchups and the possible matchups down the road. I'm more excited to watch Caitlin Clark in the NCAA tournament than I am any player that's going to be featured in the men's bracket. And I'm more excited to watch Caitlin Clark than them. And that's just the truth. I'm more excited about a potential Sweet 16 matchup between Iowa and Kansas State in the women's tournament than any possible matchup that I could see in the Sweet 16 in the men's tournament. That is a true statement. Because maybe the first round of the women's tournament might be a bunch of blowouts. I don't know, whatever. But, I mean, hasn't K-State beat Iowa the last 2 years?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a great, exciting story to watch in the Sweet 16 of the women's tournament?
Heck yeah.
To watch Caitlin Clark and Iowa go up against K-State? Mm-hmm. See if they can get revenge or see if K-State could end Caitlin Clark's college career in the Sweet 16? Can't wait to watch that. And so, you know, of course I'm going to watch the men's NCAA tournament. Of course I'm going to fill out multiple brackets, and that'll get me engaged, I'm sure. But I don't know, man. It's just it's missing something. Whatever it is, it was like, good God, every team I'm hoping to get, I was hoping to get in there off the bubble, didn't. And I'm not sure I fully grasp. I guess I never know, like, what they care about or what they're looking for or what the main criteria is to get in or to get taken care of. I mean, I thought Iowa State got screwed. Iowa State, it was really interesting. I was watching CBS Sports breakdown of the bracket with Gary Parrish, John Rothstein, and a couple of other experts.
Wally Zerbiak.
Nope.
I thought he was on that show.
Not the show I watched last night, breaking down the brackets.
Okay.
Unless he became a black man. So that was the only other.
Okay. He did not.
No. What are you laughing in there for? That time, sure, it wasn't Wally Zerbiak. I can't remember the gentleman's name. Okay.
Maybe I watched different shows, multiple shows on CBS Sports last night.
Was it CBS Sports Network?
Yeah.
This was Rothstein.
Yeah.
Gary Parrish, another analyst, I can't remember his name, and then the moderator. None of them were Wally Zerbiak. I had dinner with Wally Zerbiak in Lake Tahoe, Nevada. And so I know his face. He's a handsome man.
Very handsome.
On him.
Okay.
But Gary Parrish went on this, not tirade, but basically laid out the and I had asked this a couple weeks before. Said, can Iowa State play their way into the fourth one seed? And he laid out their resume and said, Iowa State got disrespected in the seeding. They have a better case to be the fourth number one seed than North Carolina.
By the way, the guy that hosted that show is Brent Stover, who went to K-State when I was at the same time I was.
How do you know? Because how do you know what show I watch?
Because I saw the same conversation that you were talking about.
Doesn't sound like you did. How was Wally Zerbiak a part of that?
He was a part of other parts of that show throughout the night. So I got him. I lumped him in there. Anyway.
All right. Anything else about it? You want
to? I just thought I'd throw some love to a K-State guy that's been doing stuff at CBS.
So anyway, Gary Parrish made this case for Iowa State being the fourth number one seed. Instead, they're the two seed that ends up in the same region as UConn. And that's no reward. That's not good for Iowa State. I went to the game. When was it? Friday night against Baylor. Both of those games, we went in there. I took because Selena wanted to go to the games, and so we saw half of the after I was finished with the stage. We saw half of the Houston Texas Tech game, and then all of the Iowa State Baylor game. And I mean that. Look, I'm not breaking any news here, but that Iowa State crowd was spectacular. And Iowa State was spectacular. Houston was spectacular, watching them dismantle Texas Tech. But Iowa State was spectacular. They were a joy to watch. And then I was outright shocked at what they did to Houston in the championship game. I thought that they had a good chance to win it because they were going to have a tremendous home court advantage. But 69-41. And look here, this is what I'll tell you. And I'm sure that you'll be quick to correct me on this, but when's the last time you've seen a more impressive run to a Big 12 title just in the tournament games than what Iowa State did this weekend? Nothing's sticking out in my mind, but that's the most impressive run that I think I've seen. 76-57. Over a K-State team that was must win. It was a bubble team that was must win. 76-62 over a top 15 Baylor team. And 69-41 over the number one team in the nation. So there was no easy game there. There was no pushover game. They beat a bubble team that needed to win. It was in a must-win situation. They beat a top 15 team, and then they beat the number one team overall, all basically in blowout fashion. I mean, you can put that up against any run in the Big 12 tournament. And if you tell me that's the best, I'm not going to argue. I mean, it would be hard for Kansas to have that type, because usually Kansas is the number one seed or the number one team in the nation. You know, I mean, how many non-Kansas teams have ever had the resume that Houston did going into this tournament?
Man, I don't know if there's been one in the Big 12, you know, since it's been the Big 12.
I mean, there's been times that Kansas has had that resume.
Yeah.
But, I mean, my God, right? I mean, what Iowa State did, and I guess that just, you know, the selection committee is like, okay. I mean, that.
Yeah, Gary Parrish basically said that it was like the selection committee punished them for having a weak non-con. Even though their resume was better than all the other candidates for that number one seed, they just decided to punish them. Well, you didn't play, but that, you know, that's not supposed to be the criteria. You know, how good were your wins?
Conference tournament doesn't matter. Tennessee got their ass handed to them in the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament by Mississippi State. Got blown out, and they end up the fifth team overall in the tournament seeding list. And Iowa State's at eight. Sorry, disagree. Disagree with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think Kansas should be happy with a four.
Yes.
I have people telling me they thought there'd be a five or a six. I said, nah, they'll still be there. Kansas will be a four.
Yeah, I didn't. You know? I felt like the way they closed the season out, they deserve to drop further than a four line. And I don't know how you just take KU's word for the fact that, you know, Dickinson and McCullough are going to play. How do we know? And I don't even, as far as I remember, I don't even think they've declared that Dickinson's going to be able to go.
It'd be interesting if they're shorthanded going to get Samford. Samford loves to press. And they are the eighth best three-point shooting team in the nation. But if Kansas is healthy, they should be able to handle business. But if.
Yeah, we'll see.
So. And look, I'll be more than happy to sit and watch the NCAA tournament. Like I said, make my picks. Get in on the Sports Radio 810 NCAA tournament bracket. all the other stuff. But I think it's a combination of many things, including just I'm more focused on the NFL still. Just am, man. That's just how it is. And that's what life is when the team that you cover and the team that you follow has won 3 out of the last 5 championships and won back-to-back Super Bowls. And they're out there in the middle of some of the biggest storylines right now of the offseason. This is not ho-hum. I mean, right smack dab in the middle of the Big 12 tournament, they signed Hollywood Brown. Sorry, that was I was more wrapped up in that than Houston versus Texas Tech and Iowa State versus Baylor. Right? I've been more enamored with some of the games and personalities and players that I've watched in women's basketball than I have in men's basketball this year. This is the truth. You know, there's not too many players like Caitlin Clark come around very often. So, credit her as well. And to be honest with you, there's just, you know, kind of feel like the name recognition of men's college basketball has waned just a little bit. Whether that's transfer portal and guys not sticking around and you don't identify them with certain teams. I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't know. You feel me on that?
Yeah. No, as coming from a family of Kansas fans, we were having this conversation. We had a little birthday gathering at my house for some of our family members last night. And the selection show, like, was kind of just on. And people were watching, but it wasn't like the super focus. And my sister even said, she's like, you know, with the way the Chiefs played this year and her son, you know, playing high school basketball, she's like, I don't have that much emotional energy left for something else. I think, that, you know, for KU fans, it's been a down season too. But also one thing I would maybe add to it, the other thing that, in addition to Caitlin Clark, I think gets you fired up for the women's tournament is they actually have some coaches that are really big personalities. I think that in college,
players.
Yeah, but I was just going to add to, because you already kind of mentioned the players, and in the men's side, it's like there's so much transfer portal action, and which team does which guy play for? You don't identify them as much with the school. They don't become as big of a star as if they've been the same place for a couple years. Where Caitlin Clark, we know about Caitlin Clark. We got to watch her in the tournament last year. But also, the coaches have always been the biggest stars in college basketball, right? It was Roy Williams and Coach K, Bill Self, Jim Boeheim, guys like that going at it. Those other three guys outside of Bill Self are all gone now. And on the women's side, you got Kim Mulkey wearing her crazy outfits and saying outlandish things. And Dawn Staley getting, you know, wound up about things. I think that kind of, there's like a transition in coaching in college basketball right now, too, where Kelvin Sampson's still a big name, I guess. But, you know, it just seems like it doesn't seem like the big name personalities on the coaching side are the same in college basketball as they've been in the past. So you put all the fact that all three of the teams here around here are down, our attention's divided by the Chiefs, maybe the star power in college basketball, maybe it's just in general going to be this way because of the transfer portal and NIL and all that, or maybe it's just this one of those years. I'm with you. I think there's just less there's less excitement than usual around the tournament for everybody. Maybe more so for you, but for all of us.
Jake, what do you say?
I mean, there's absolutely less hype, but I think it's been that way the whole college basketball season.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say, okay, we get to the tournament and now it's down. It's like the season hasn't been, you know, as exciting or in the it's been in the periphery, you know. It's been just kind of on the side, you know. There'd be a big game.
It's been your
here.
Side chick.
What now?
It's been your side chick.
Yeah, it has, you know. Because, I mean, the NFL is it's king, and it takes priority, and especially when the football season goes midway into February, you know, for how long, you know, football season would be over the first couple weeks of January, and then, you know, then you focus in and you pay a lot more attention to college basketball. Hasn't been the case the last 4 or 5 years, you know. And plus, there's only one local school in, you know? Last year, all three local schools were in. That's I mean, when you're only talking about one matchup in the tournament instead of three potential matchups and teams making runs, it's just not as exciting. There's just less interest all the way around.
See, this damn and more than any other, I'm sitting there watching. I don't even remember the last time I watched the women's selection show. I'm watching the women's selection show, and I after watching the I didn't watch the men's show live. I was getting shrimp thrown in my mouth at a Japanese steak.
Oh, hibachi, baby!
I saw the volcano,
and so
I was watching.
And so I'm watching the women's selection show, and I'm waiting for Iowa, see Iowa, and the 4-seed Kansas. I'm like, oh, and I'm like, I had this giant reaction. I didn't have any reaction for anything that I saw in the men's selection show except for the fact that Providence and Indiana State didn't make it. I'm like, screw you, selection committee. I've been going back to the Gulf Coast Showcase where Iowa beat K-State 77-70. And the opening line to the game story, just when it seemed like Kansas State might beat Iowa for the third time in a little over 12 months, Caitlin Clark found herself remembering one of her coach's mantras. She always says, find a way. And that's what she and the Hawkeyes did to win a title and finally beat the Wildcats. Clark scored 32 points, and number 5 Iowa survived, wasting a pair of double-digit leads before rallying to finally beat Kansas State 77-70 in the championship game of the Gulf Coast Showcase. I mean, they've played three times in the past year, and K-State won two of them, and they had that classic, and we might get that in the Sweet 16, and that involves a local school that a lot of people around here care about against a team that everyone will watch. And so then for any player on K-State's team, imagine if that's what happens, and it's a Sweet 16. I don't know about Beardy in there, but I'm watching that.
How
awesome would, and then the storyline is, you know, look how many problems K-State has given Iowa over the past couple meetings, you know, and they've actually beaten Iowa twice in the past year or so, and then Iowa came back and beat them, and so, I mean, that's, and if I'm like Iowa, I'm like, what are you doing? Why are they the 4-seed in our region?
Yeah.
What are you doing that for? You know, and that means obviously, so K-State gets to host a couple games, which is awesome. I don't know. I thought that was a big deal.
It's.
I can't force you guys to be excited. I'm just telling you, I thought it was a big deal.
Okay. I think I'll watch every Iowa game in the tournament.
But that one's
it's huge.
Damn. And then I looked like, you know what? That would be, how far is that away? And it's Albany.
Yeah, that's hard to get to from here.
Suck. Too far. I mean, that'd be worth, you know, driving a couple hours for if it was reasonable. But not happening. So there you go. But it's March Madness, and I'm sure it'll be great, and there'll be buzzer beaters, and it'll be fun, and Cinderellas. I just, you know, we got robbed of Robbie Avila wearing the goggles for Indiana State. He should be in the tournament. That team should be in the tournement. I don't care. You know?
Yeah, I don't even know what their resume deserves it or not, but I just want them in the tournament. I just wanted him in the tournament. As long as it wasn't in KU bracket.
Big East only get three teams.
Yeah, that's wild.
I mean, I heard people saying they were the second best conference behind the Big 12. Was that?
Yeah, I mean,
That was probably the most, or one of the most entertaining conference tournaments to watch, because it seemed like all coaches wanted to fight spectators and each other. And there's real hate there. I like that.
Yeah.
And also, I should mention that there was a crazy amount of bid stealers out there. Teams that were not supposed to go to the NCAA tournament that went out and won their way in. I mean, NC State winning 5 games in 5 days. And every time they had it, they go, oh, boy. If you're in the bubble, it's like, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. And it happened, it was like 5 or 6 of them. And you're like, oh. So you knew you knew it was going to be bad for the bubble teams. You knew it. But then it happens, and you're like, oh. So.
Yeah.
Look what they did to our boy with goggles.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
You know. We got lots of good stuff. We got some sound. We'll play Tom Crean going off on teams that are refusing to play in the NIT. We've got Kim English telling you what he thinks of analytics. We've got a few good clips from yesterday. And also we'll get into this thing with L'Darius needing the Colts. Is he going to be a Chief or is he going to be a Colt? And based on what the rumors are, the compensation is, what do you want? There's a lot to unpack with that story. And then you got soccer, both teams winning, the opening of the new current stadium. All hell's breaking loose right now in Kansas City. And it's great. Lots of stuff to do, lots of stuff to talk about. We'll do it after this on Sports Radio 810 WHP. All right. Don't shoot the messenger. I was going to tell you. Take you through this. If you're not on X or Twitter, by the way, if you have to continuously say X, formerly Twitter, because no one knows what you're talking about when you say X,
it's just Twitter.
Did the name change really hit? No, really set?
It's Twitter.
Okay,
we just call it Twitter on this show.
You guys know this anonymous account, Pretty Ricky. Was on Twitter and was correctly predicting and reporting a number of moves, beating Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, and he was right about a lot of stuff, including the Chiefs signing Hollywood Brown. He had that like 2 days before. Okay? He had Tyron Smith going to the Jets. He was hitting like seven or eight stories, right? Well ahead of everyone else. And then somebody deleted his account or deactivated his account. Then he was back and he reported more stuff, including that the Chiefs were going to trade Snead to the Colts. Then his account got deactivated again. Now he's gone. And people are speculating that he was either, I don't know if he was a GM, but maybe an assistant GM, somebody that worked in the front office, somebody that worked in the NFL office, it's somewhere. He was not guessing that often, getting all this stuff right. Somewhere, somehow, maybe he worked for an agent. That could be it. Maybe he was an agent. He knew something. He had access to information. And the NFL is only going to let Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport and Jay Glazer and a handful of guys report their stories. And so whatever happened, Pretty Ricky got whacked off of Twitter. He's gone.
Bye-bye.
But one of his last stories he claimed was true was that the Chiefs were trading Snead to the Colts, but the only hang-up was Snead and his agent were making some very heavy demands on the contract. Destin Adams, beat writer covering the Colts for A to Z Sports and Pro Football Writers Association member, he tweeted out that the deal, very similar to what Pretty Ricky was tweeting. He had a tweet over the weekend. Sources tell myself and A to Z Sports NFL that the Chiefs and Colts are ironing out the final details on a trade that will send star corner L'Darius Snead to Indianapolis. I'm told the Colts are sending a 2024 third round pick and an additional pick in 2025. I told you to prepare to be somewhat underwhelmed or disappointed in what the Chiefs are going to get back for Snead. because a lot of people, I know, Nate, you felt this way, other people, you got to get a first-round pick for him. It's just...
not realistic.
It's not, yeah. It's not reality. Now, a third-round pick and a pick next year, kind of got to hear where the pick is next year.
Yeah.
Like that's a big mystery in that deal. But anyway, that's what he reported. And he's a legitimate reporter that covers the Colts. And then it didn't happen. The next day, as my tweet says, the trade isn't official until both sides submit everything necessary to the league office. But the belief is it gets taken care of today. That was yesterday. And then it still didn't happen. He follows up. Colts have coveted Snead from the very beginning. They're nearing a deal that lands the best corner available this offseason. Still didn't happen. And he keeps going, and then people start coming after him. Stephen Holder covers the Colts for ESPN, their version of Adam Teicher. He then tweets early yesterday morning. Somebody tweets at him and says, a lot of people are saying the Snead trade is done. Any word? And Stephen Holder says, that's not accurate. Sorry. In fact, I'm leaning heavily toward the trade not happening at all. So you got one Colts guy saying, I'm saying it's not going to happen at all. The other Colts guy, they're just crossing the T's, dotting the I's, and it's going to happen. And so then Destin Adams, he is getting attacked on Twitter. He said, going to let the situation play out, but I stand on the fact that I trust the info I was given from multiple different people here. And he's left to defend himself, right? And then you got apparently death threats from Colts fans saying he made up the story. Bro, it got ugly. Okay.
Hey, what happened?
And he just keeps saying that he's sticking by what he heard, but then he did adjust it to where he said that he reported that there was a okay. When I tweeted, I was told this is 20 hours ago. When I tweeted, I was told the two sides were progressing towards a contract being done. They hit a bump, and if they can't get over it, that's the reason the deal doesn't happen. I still think they find a way, but it's a waiting game right now. NFL offseason's wild. Things can change in a blink of an eye, which tells you how confident I was yesterday to put that all out there. So, according to at least him and a couple of other people I've seen tweet about this, that the holdup is Snead and his agent's contract demands. And the Colts are like, well, we're not trading for him unless we can work out a deal here. Chris Ballard, former Chiefs front office guy. And so, if it doesn't get done, is it because Snead wanted too much? That's what at least Destin Adams is saying right now, who covers the Colts. Do they finally get over the hump? I mean, like, if you're the Colts, and this is the guy you've targeted, And this is out there. I mean, that would be a major letdown, not only for your fans, but it's got to be for your team to think, okay, we got a shot at getting the best corner available this offseason, and then maybe watch them go someplace else or watch them stay in Kansas City. So again, looking at the story that Destin Adams wrote, a third rounder in 2024. And an unspecified 2025 pick for Snead. That's the deal that he's hearing. And then they talk about contract. He's hearing somewhere in the neighborhood 4 years, $80 million with $58 million guaranteed. Although a number of people have put out that Snead wants $22 million a year. Okay. So that's where it is. Third round pick. What's that pick next year got to be for you to do it if you're Brett Veach? If that's really what the offer is.
Another third round pick.
Jake?
Nah, I'd be all right with a fourth. You know, if you really have to twist my arm, I'd probably settle with a conditional fifth.
I just keep them.
Yeah. Yep.
I just keep them. That's me.
I'm with you.
You know, you get in a situation where you're just trading them to trade them. You know, yeah. I mean, third round pick's fine, but I, you know.
If you can really fit him under the franchise tag.
Give me the best quarterback tandem in the NFL again next year. Yeah. And let me go win a third championship, and then we'll play the song and dance next offseason.
What free agents are you going to sign with that money that are better than him? If you save that $19 million, like, who are you
going to... Well, you got to get a left tackle.
And that's what I would be doing with that money.
But the number one guy that I want is gone now. And so, like, who's the guy that you're going to spend that money on? A lot of the guys that I was wanting to spend that money on are no longer free agents. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd have to hear what the other pick is, but you're getting close to the territory where I would say, you know what, screw it.
Yeah.
Play on the tag. But will he play on the tag? That's the other thing.
Well,
because, I mean, if he's hardballing this thing where he wants $22 million or whatever, and he wants to be the highest paid corner, and he's hardballing it to where it's preventing the Chiefs from making a deal, then maybe he don't want to play on the tag, and then you're looking at a holdout and everything else. That's the other thing we got to look at here. We all love L'Jarius Sneed, but what kind of game is he playing hardball with everybody? And if that's the case, maybe that's adding to the idea that, you know what, we'll take a third and a pick next year. Because we don't want to go through this, and he's not going to want to play. Who knows?
Yeah,
there's different layers to this thing.
At the end of the day, not playing under the franchise tag is a horrible career decision. I mean, just a terrible career decision. It doesn't help you at all.
Well, there have been players that have made horrible career decisions.
There have been.
I mean, he'd be making $19 million, which is about five times more than he's made in his entire career.
Yeah. Like you said, anything's possible, but I would be very, very surprised. I could see him maybe holding out for part of camp, whatever.
Why couldn't you see him holding out for a game? It happened last year.
Chris Jones,
you know.
Yeah. Well, he might talk to Chris Jones about that, see if that was really...
Well, and Chris Jones said, yeah, it Chris worked Jones out pretty said damn
it,
good.
It worked out better than I ever could have imagined.
Yeah, I got more money.
I got even more money. We won a championship, and I got even more money than I was asking
for
then.
I didn't have to show up to camp, and I got to sit out a game.
It really did.
Yeah, but is that because he held out for a game? I mean,
but in his mind,
it cost him a lot of money.
It worked out exactly
how it
was. Yeah, he got it back plus some.
And he got a bigger offer than he would have gotten last year.
He got more money.
So I'm just telling you, in Chris Jones' mind, how would you say, it didn't work?
So if he did talk to Chris Jones would be like, it worked out pretty good.
Well, but if L'Jarius Sneed wants to hold out for one game next year, whatever, I don't care.
You would have traded him or keep him.
I don't want to trade him for just a third-round pick.
Well, it's not. It's two picks.
Well, that's why I'm saying I want another good pick next year.
I think a fourth round is a good pick for Veach. He got Sneed in the fourth round.
I might be willing to do it for a third and a fourth, but I think that it should...
Where he got Sneed in the fourth round, so right. I mean...
Hey, Veach has gotten a lot of really good players in a lot of different rounds. I understand how important the picks are, and I've told you I am in favor of... him getting more draft picks. I think he's one of the best corners in the NFL. I think he's... You're trying to go for a three-peat. I would not just give him away. And I know that the third-round pick's not giving him away, but I think it's underwhelming.
It's just funny, man. There's so much pressure now on the Colts to do this deal.
Yeah.
I'm just reading what some of the people are writing about them and what the fans are, how they're responding. They're saying that Chris Ballard and Ursay are cheap and they won't. You got to spend to get a marquee player and Chris Ballard. Why can't you? You used to work with the Chiefs. Why can't you make a deal with them? They're just going crazy. You know? Just looking at it from the other side of it, right? And I'm just the Chiefs shouldn't have to go crazy. They're, you know. They're holding the winning hand right now. Again.
Yeah.
If they trade him for something that they find that's worthwhile, okay. You get more room under the salary cap, and you get some draft capital. if you decide, you know what, that trade's not worthwhile, let's keep him. Oh, no, you've got the best cornerback tandem in football that just helped you win a championship. The horror. So either way, the Chiefs are good.
Yep.
It's the Colts or the pressure, you know. You get your all, sorry, Jake, but you get your fan base all horny for, I mean, guess if you, if you're the Colts and you watch the Chiefs and you watch Snead, how bad do you want him? Like how, right?
Yeah.
Like how bad do you want him? And you get all turned up for it and then you don't do it. We've been in those situations before, right? So the Chiefs are in the driver's seat. The Chiefs, either outcome is positive for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So they don't. The pressure on the Colts. They let this get out that this thing's almost happening, and then if it doesn't happen, it's going to have egg on their face. So I'm cool with this. Hold out for the best possible offer, and if that best possible offer doesn't tickle your fancy, keep the man.
Right.
Now the only other thing is, then you got to deal with Snead, and is that going to piss him off? Or will he play on the tag and understand how much money he's going to make, bet on himself, and do what Chris Jones did and follow that path and turn it into a gigantic deal next year and win another ring and get $19 million while you're at it?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think, if that one gentleman's report is true, the Chiefs have already decided they're willing to trade him.
And right? one point that Trent just sent out, and it's a very good point, The difference is Chris Jones could sit, and Chris Jones had more to fall back on because he had made more money.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Snead hasn't made that much money yet.
Right.
So making that $19 million, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
And then you can go right back and maybe be a free agent next year.
Right.
But again, agents, players, common sense isn't always at the forefront. You don't know what any. It's very difficult to compare situations, right?
Well, if the trade doesn't go through because Snead and his agent can't come to terms with the Colts, that's on Snead and his agent, not on the Chiefs, right? The Chiefs could say to him, "Look, man, we tried to trade you, you know." But and I would think this is just a supposition on my part, but you know, Snead and his agent also might be playing hardball because their attitude is, hey, the fallback for us is we get $19 million guaranteed this year and play for the Super Bowl champs.
Right.
So if you don't give us what we want, we're fine staying with the Chiefs. So that gives them some negotiating leverage. I also think it puts the Chiefs in a better spot where it's like, no, you chose not to sign with the Colts, so, you know, we're good. We'll take you back.
This is why I'm not paying attention to the brackets. I'm all wrapped up in the luxurious Snead situation.
I found out what happened to Pretty Ricky.
What happened?
Uh-oh. You got any wine?
No.
Gotcha, Malanga.
He got whacked.
His Twitter account sleeping with the fishes.
He got whacked by Uncle Junior.
Gotcha, Malanga.
Oh, do you remember that cliffhanger?
Oh, boy.
And Tony was so far away from the phone. Like, oh, I was so upset. I thought maybe, because the Sopranos will do right? something. I go,
wow.
Are they going to do this? Are they really going to do this?
Marty Shaw.
Yeah.
Who do you think?
Oh,
don't go nowhere.
Uncle Junior. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB.